Good morning. You know, I think sometimes that the method or the way that a minister expresses themselves can probably get old on the people listening. Sometimes you might wish that they talked a little faster, or sometimes there might be somebody you wish would talk a little slower. But I know that I'm probably a slow speaker, so I'm not going to try to speak fast for the sake of speaking fast. I want to be able to get the thought out, but I want you to know that if you feel, I don't want my, my technique or my personality to be a drag on you. I hope you can overlook that and look past that, and that you'll be able to be blessed today. So I was thinking about something. Seemed like the Lord just continued to inspire this to me. I'm thinking this morning about all of the things that's going on in people's heads out in the world. If I was going to give the subject a title, I guess I would call it self-help. Maybe we'll write that on the board. Self-help. Wonder how many times you've looked in a book section and seen self-help as a category. You ever been in a bookstore and you go down through there and they'll have maybe a little placard up above the books, and it might say religious, and then it might say, I don't know, history or Civil War or just anything, subtitles and all of that. And somewhere in a bookstore, if you go into a bookstore, you're going to find a section that says self-help. And if you went to Amazon and typed in self-help, I didn't count them, but do you have any idea how many books might show up under the self-help section? Have you ever Googled that and just type in self-help, and immediately you get a list of books, pictures of the front cover, and there's titles ranging from, you can only imagine. There are, over the years, since we have become a literate society, not just English speaking, but across the world, there are self-help books by every imaginable author from every imaginable background. Everyone that has felt like they have got a hold of something, they want to share it. No, that's not true. There's just a myriad of self-help books. There's been books that's been written by English-speaking people that has been translated to other languages, and books that's been written in Russian or another language and translated to English, and all with the intent of helping other people. Then another one you can type in and get just an explosion of possible solutions is mind over matter. You ever type that in to Google? But there is incredible amount of information out there that'll help you in this category of mind over matter. In most of the material out there, I would have to say it depends. You know, it's kind of like eating certain foods. I know about someone that felt like that garlic could help them with some health issues they had, and they ate garlic sandwiches. I'm not talking about any dried garlic leaves or anything like that. I'm talking about fresh garlic. They'd toast a piece of bread and put some butter on it, and then just cover it with garlic and eat garlic sandwiches. And they did it for their health. And they ate so much garlic that they smelled like garlic. And you know, depends on what our discipline is to apply ourselves to self-help books, we start smelling, if you will, or portraying what's in those self-help books. And I'm going to just go out on a limb and say that those self-help books are and philosophies and thinkings out there is marginal at best. But, you know, there's a lot of things out there that if you really imbibe and begin to smell like that book, it will destroy your connection with the God of creation. And that's one of the most fearful things that I could ever think of us doing, is being severed from this correct relationship with God. And I don't want that to happen to us. I was raised with a lot of colloquial expressions, and I use them. I try to use them in the way they were passed on to me and try to benefit from them if I can. Not all of them are beneficial. But one of them that I heard was an expression that somebody ought to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. So the idea behind that is that you don't depend on other people to make you happy, or you don't depend on other people for a handout or to do something for you. The idea is that you do make it happen for yourself. You do apply yourself. You do put some energy in it, and you're not waiting for your ship to come in, but pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. But here again, that's marginal, because in actuality, you can't lift yourself by your own bootstraps. We know that's not possible. We just know that it's just a figure of speech. It's a colloquial expression. It's something that someone is giving the impression that you can really do something for yourself. And, you know, I'm thinking this morning about all of people's troubles that's in their mind. You know, people begin to worry and fret and be distressed about things that's going on in their head, and they begin to just get lower and lower, and many times they reach out for some kind of self-help book because they feel depressed, they feel discouraged, they feel disillusioned, or they're not focused any longer, and they're just troubled with life. Life is a burden to them instead of life being invigorating and a blessing to them, and they begin to feel that there's no happiness and no fulfillment, and it just becomes a very apprehensive thing. Just another day just can be just crowd in on them. Another potential relationship can cause people to feel anxious and distressed and troubled. And I don't believe that's the way God wants us to feel. I believe all of us here, not just us here, but all mankind, God has thoughts of good and not evil toward us. So I'd like to go to begin with maybe in Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, and notice a verse here. The writer says, something that we're not going to get into the whole context of it maybe, but he says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." There are many times that we have something in our mind, and it's not what our words are saying. Somebody can say, how are you? And you can say, fine. And really, you don't feel so fine. And it's been a while now, but I told you about the man that I knew that he said fine so much that we called him fine. And he, those of you that don't remember or didn't ever hear it, I'll just tell you very briefly that he had, it doesn't matter what we told him was wrong with his car, he just said fine. And we would say, well, it's going to cost $1,000 to fix it. And he'd say, fine. How much did you say? And he just was in such a habit of saying fine that he didn't stop and process what he really heard. So we can be, as individuals, he says here, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." And what's in our mind affects our spiritual inner man in our heart. And what we're constantly dwelling on, and if we're dwelling on disappointments and discouragement, if we're dwelling on misfortunes of life, it can affect our spirit. And we become down and discouraged and distressed and despondent. And we begin to think, well, there's no hope. And then we think, well, maybe I need to read a self-help book. Somebody else that's been in a similar situation and has found the key to getting out of that. Now, don't all of us want the key to get out of our troubles? I do. I don't want to be locked into troubles. The caliber of a person has a lot more to do with what he's thinking than what he's saying. What do you think about that? The caliber of a person has a lot more to do with what we dwell on than what we say. Because what we say is impacted by our surroundings many times. It's not real popular in some places to be discouraged. It's not real popular in some places to be encouraged. You ever thought about that? It's not very popular to be feel like you are knowing, you're confident about your abilities in some places. And in other places, it's not very acceptable to be less than overly confident. And it depends on our circumstances many times. If you all that's just got married, if your parents ask you in a real serious tone, well, how's it going? How's everything? Now, if you say, well, he is really a bum, you know, that's not really the thing that's probably not really the thing that they want to hear. And you know that. You know that. So what comes out of our mouth many times is impacted by our surroundings. But as we're thinking, if we're thinking they're really a bum, many times it can cause, that's who we really are. And then we start getting down and discouraged about all of those kind of things. And I don't know, I try to be forthright with what I say and all of that, but I'll tell you that I have to be careful. I don't want to misrepresent or taint truth, but I do. I don't just always spill everything, if somebody asks me, I try to answer them in a tactful manner, but not necessarily tell them what's really down in my heart. We do that. But as a man thinketh, that's how he really is, as what's really going on. And you know, what's really going on down inside of us is where our biggest battles are. And it's where we need the biggest help. You know, we can feel like we gave somebody an appropriate answer, and we skirted an issue, and maybe we put on a good face. You know, if I've had a really bad day on my job and things have not gone well, and I come home and there's distress at home, and I'm the man, I'm the father. You know, the thing I've got to do is, another colloquial expression, I got to put on a stiff upper lip, and I've got to suck it up, and I've got to present a visage of courage and strength. And I can still handle your problems. The folks, one of the fellows I work with brought me a sign that says, please let me drop everything and help you with your troubles. And you know, so I put it on a cord now, or a little bungee strap, when I've got a lot of things going and somebody else comes by and says, what do I do now? I put my sign on and I say, let me come help you. You know, but it may not be what's really going on in my heart, and maybe what I'm thinking is, why don't you figure it out yourself? But that's not what I say, and I'm not trying to be dishonest or anything like that, but, you know, I can feel overwhelmed, just like you can. And that's where I need the biggest, it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's what I really have to work on. That's the place that I really have to do some battles sometimes, because I feel overcharged. I don't feel like somebody understands me. I don't feel like somebody appreciates me. I don't feel like somebody understands my pain and my disappointment and my rejection and all those other things. And that's what I think about when somebody isn't bothering me. And when somebody's bothering me, then I'm trying to deal with that situation just on a surface level. But we have to realize that there's a better answer. This is the point of my message this morning. There's a better answer than reaching out for a self-help book. I've got some books at the house that I inherited from, we inherited it. Anita and I did. We've got some books at our house, and I'm not going to tell you what the title is because it'd be embarrassing. From her family and from my family, and they're all the same book. And they even had the courage to write their own name in it, you know, like it belongs to me. And I really feel like they had something that was going on down deep inside in their thinking, but they didn't talk about it to nobody. They was reaching out for a self-help book, and they got one. The reason this comes to my mind is I was looking through my bookshelf for something else here a while back, and I just opened one up, and I said, oh, that's from Anita's side of the family. I thought my side's the only one that had these kind of problems. But you know, it's just, there was people, they were reaching out for something because something was going on in their head, and they had questions, and they had some kind of problems that was dealing with, and they went and got this book, and they all happened to buy the same one. And I don't know what kind of books at your house, but you might have one too. And so I want us to realize that there is some real help for those things that we think about and causes trouble and causes us distress. There is a real source of answers and solutions to that that I believe is long-term and it's effectual. But I believe it's somewhere besides Google and the self-help book section. lot of people are looking for self-help in the wrong spot. So, many people need help with courage. Many people need help with confidence. There's a few that don't seem to need it, but I wonder sometimes if it's just what they say and it's not what is really going on in their heart. Because remember, Proverbs said, and it's supposed to be some of the wisest words in the scripture, as a man thinketh, so is he, not what he's saying. Because what did the verse here in Proverbs say? He says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he, to thee, but his heart is not with thee. He's saying, y'all, just eat all you want. Here it is. This is the best I can provide. And what he's thinking is, I sure hope they don't eat it all. I don't know if that's what he's thinking, but he's not thinking that. It just says that right here. He says, eat and drink, saith he, but his heart is not with thee. He's thinking about something different. Whether he's wishing you didn't eat it, or whether he's thinking about something totally different, totally other context, I don't know. But the things that we think about is where we need the most help. Might be confident. Somebody says, oh, just give it to me. I know how to do all of that. And in reality, they're hoping, I sure hope they make somebody else do this job because I don't know where to start. There are people out there like that, and they need help. And, you know, you can read a book about how to build self-confidence. There's one of those books out there. I don't know if that's the exact title or not. But there's books out there about building self-confidence. And one of the things that one of the concepts they're going to try to introduce to you is to be more assertive. And they're not going to be as balanced as what I want to try to get to this morning. So, in James, the fourth chapter, let's turn there. Notice what James says. In chapter 4 and verse 13 beginning, he says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So he introduces something here. He says, he didn't say don't have a plan. He doesn't say you don't need to have an objective in life. He doesn't say that. But he says we ought to put that in the context of if the Lord wills, this is what our plan is. All right? Now, it's important to have a desire. It's important to have a plan or objective or what you want, some sense of accomplishment. But it's also equally important to not make those plans and be completely disregarding the will of the Lord and the providence of God. Many times people are looking for help for things that's going on in their heads somewhere besides God. Instead of, if the Lord will help me in this area. Instead of that, they're looking for something that'll fix it, their troubles, their disappointments, their feelings of downtroddenness or whatever it is, totally unconnected from God. I want you to know that positive thinking is not the antidote for a depraved nature. You know, there's books out there about positive thinking. And it's not the answer for a depraved nature. And critical thinking is not the equivalent for wisdom that's from above. You know, there's other books that talk about critical thinking. But it's not the antidote. It's not the same as the wisdom that's from above. I'm not saying you can't, there's not some good principles out there. But we're going to have to remember, well, I don't care what kind of plan we got, if we take God out of it and we're not willing to be in subjection to, if the Lord is willing, we'll do this or that, we're getting into dangerous territory. A new mindset is not the replacement for being born again. You know, some people want to read a book or listen to a seminar or participate in one, and then they just want to turn over a complete new leaf and be something totally different. The place to turn to if you're troubled in your mind and you're troubled in your thinking is to God and His Son. That's the place to turn to. You know, He is going to bring not only steps out of your place, wherever you're at, but He's going to give you some stable building blocks that will establish you for the rest of your life. He's not going to pick you up. It's kind of like just going on some kind of fast to lose weight so you can fit in your wedding dress or in your suit that you got married in or whatever it is. It's more than that. He will give you some fundamentals that'll keep you going in the right direction the rest of your life. So if you're troubled today, I might say, how you doing? And you say, oh, I'm fine. And really it's like, oh, why did they ask that? You know? I wish they only knew. Or maybe we said, if they only knew, they would know that I'm not fine. But I'm afraid to tell them. Here's the thing that I want you to know. You can tell God. You can tell Him all your troubles. You can tell Him all your disappointments. You can tell Him what's really going on in your head and in your mind. It's more than just what you say. He knows that what you're thinking about is who you really are. And He knows how to help you with that, whatever it is. He can temper you if He needs to, and He can prop you up if He needs to. He can give you some real working solutions, not just a formula to follow until you meet something that don't fit the formula. That's what happens in a lot of self-help books, see. Let's go to Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans 12 and verse 3 says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." So don't begin to, you know, one of the things that can happen if we're reading some motivational book or listening to a motivational speaker, and maybe they're pointing out a lot of things that we've done right, and we think, man, everybody else ought to notice. I am elite. I'm special. I've got abilities that not very many people have. And he says right here, for us not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. You know, He wants us to have a level of confidence that will not be undermined. He wants us, he doesn't want us to be so insecure that we can't be confident in our experience with him and confidence in our abilities, as in our occupations, in our relationships, in the words that we say. You know, people can be in a place that's so troubled in their mind that it's hard for them to carry on a conversation. They worry about what they said. The Lord's got a place of confidence for us all in that. But it's not a place of me feeling like we're better than everybody else. All right? James 1 and verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Here's the thing about going to God for our troubles. He's the one that made us. He knows why we operate the way that we do. He knows the impact of sin. He knows the damage that it does. And he knows the right antidote for all of that. He knows the right fix, the right solution. And when we come to him and ask for that perfect gift, and we seek his counsel and study the scripture, and we come to places like this and mingle our hearts and our lives with others that's endeavoring to live for the Lord, what happens is we start to build confidence and we start to gain some ground and some traction in areas where we felt so insecure and so incapable and maybe so vulnerable. You know, there's been many areas in my life that I've felt insecure and vulnerable to other people because it looked like they had everything together and I didn't. But God has helped me through those things. I'm not saying I've got it all figured out. I'm just telling you that the Lord has been my stability through those things. Every perfect gift is from above. Every good gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12 says this, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We can get pumped up in ourselves. The devil would like to pump us up. What did he do to Adam and Eve? He told them, well, it just don't make sense. You're not going to eat that fruit and die. He made them feel lifted up. Well, God knows. He's trying to keep you ignorant. God knows if you ate that, you're going to be like him. And they fell for that. And this verse says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Lord, help us to never become elevated in our mindset, to feel like that we've got everything figured out. We may deal with some other things at another time, but I would like to get to Exodus, the 35th chapter. And I'd like to look in verse 30 beginning. You know, it helps us to have a benchmark to work towards. Any of you ever have a grandparent that you really esteemed and admired? They're just, you know, I want to be like grandma. I want to be like grandpa. I want to be like, it might not even be a relative. Maybe it's somebody else. You know, I've got a little book at the house that every year, sometime during the school year, my mother would ask me to answer these questions, and it went from her writing them in when I was really, really small to after I started learning how to write, I would write it in myself. So there's a page in this book for every year I was in school, and every page has a little pocket that's got maybe my picture in it or something when I went through school. And one of the questions that I answered is, when I grow up, I want to be fill in the blank. You know, and it changed over the years of what I wanted to be. And we can have those aspirations. When I grow up, when I become who I want to be, when I become confident, when I become who I think I am, when I become something that I really want to be, instead of, you know, many times we feel like we're trapped by circumstances and being somebody that we really don't want to be. I'm not talking about all the confusion that's going on out in our world about other things. I'm talking about being confident. I'm talking about being able to have courage and stamina and many things in our relationships. We can feel like we're trapped being something that we didn't really want to be. And you know, we can say, if I could only be like grandma, if I could only be like so-and-so, that's who I want to be like. I want to display their courage. I want to display their abilities. I want to display the level of confidence they have. I want to be able to have the discernment or understanding or whatever. I want to have it like they've got it. So it's nice to have a benchmark, or at least I feel like it is. And there is someone in the Bible that maybe kind of one of my soapboxes, but I'm going to ask you to bear with me. There's a man in the Bible that I have only read positive things about. And as far as I know, he departed this life with a positive impression on other people's minds. He was not Moses, and he wasn't Aaron, and he wasn't someone that was at the front of the pack, but he was in other areas. I'd like to turn to Exodus, the 35th chapter, and I would like to look at verse 30, beginning. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uriah, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. So he gives some of his lineage, he gives his name here, and he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom. Now, don't we want to be filled with the Spirit of God? And he says, he's filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold, and in silver, and in brass, and in the cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of wood, to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahishmach, of the tribe of Dan, them that he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engravers and the cunning workmen and the embroiderer in blue and in purple and scarlet and in fine linen and of the weaver, even of them that do any work and of those that devise cunning work. Here was a man that had abilities. There was a man that they didn't have CNC wood shapers. They didn't have all of the sophisticated equipment. There was a lot of skill involved here. But it wasn't just a skilled craftsman in working with wood or with brass. This fella had it all. If there anybody ought to have had a big head, it should have been him. If there's anybody that should have thought more highly of himself than he ought to think, it ought to have been this fella. But I don't find it anywhere. I find it being said that he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. And not only that, that he was able to teach others how to do it. I want to tell you, this is a tall thing to live up to. And this is the level of confidence and capabilities that I believe that God has for every one of us. I'm not saying every one of us should be able to do all of those things with all of those different materials, but that level of ability. You know that one that you look on and say, I don't know how they do it. But every time that they're put their hand to it and their mind to it, it turns out good. Might be your grandma. It might be your grandpa. You know, when they come into a situation, it seems like there's a calming effect that comes over the room. Or when they come in and they begin to work with something, it might be a disaster in the kitchen. You know, it turned out that what I thought was going to have to feed to the hogs, everybody bragged on, said, that's the best soup I ever had. And you say, oh, I want to be like that. I want to be able to do those. Well, I want to tell you, the Lord has got that for us. But it's going to have to be more doing, we're going to have to do business with as a man thinketh in his heart. We're going to have to say, Lord, I need something. Maybe we can apply ourselves to some technical things and give us more understanding. You know, it helps to know how things work, and we can study, know that we ought to use galvanized fasteners if we're putting it in treated wood, or otherwise that treated wood will eat up our steel fasteners. We ought to learn all those kind of things. But in all of that, Lord, help me to be like Bezalel. I want to have the type of characteristic that you know who I am and I know where I am. And, you know, everything I believe this man did was a reflection of God dwelling in him. Isn't that what we want? Yeah. You know, I believe that's what God has for us. He's the best self-help. He'll give you confidence to be able to know where you stand with him. And that's what's most important anyway, isn't it? But he'll give you confidence to know where you stand with other people and how to approach things with confidence and with courage. He can repair those broken places and those damaged areas and those things that need to be reinforced. There is I want to portray this in the right way. There is so much stability that comes from a real relationship with God. He can help us with all of the things that we face. There's a song that maybe we don't have in our book, any book here, I don't know that we do. It says, Remind Me, Dear Lord. That's the title of it. And the words go like this. The things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. Nothing good have I done to deserve God's own Son. I'm not worthy of the scars in his hands, yet he chose the road to Calvary to die in my stead. Why he loved me, I can't understand. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human, and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. I'd like to close with a verse in Psalms that comes to my mind. I believe it's about Psalms 117. It's specifically talking about children. That's not the right one. It's the one where he talks, it's 127 maybe. That's how inspiration works. Yes, 127 and 5, he's talking about children of a man. The last part of the verse is talking about the confidence of children that's raised in a proper home. He says, they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. What the picture that paints in your mind. You remember we started out by saying, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But the picture that I get in my mind is there being a confrontation. And in that confrontation, someone is stable enough, secure enough, confident enough that they can take that confrontation and meet it head on. You can do it. Not with just positive thinking, not with just a positive attitude, not with just having the right self-help book and seminar and mind over matter and all of that kind of stuff, but you can really have it with the help of the Lord. You can really have it where you can speak with the enemy in the gate. The thing that's coming against you, that's contesting your testimony, that's contesting your ability to have victory, to have courage, to proceed on in life, you can have it. This is not just a positive thinking seminar this morning. You can have it by the power of God, by the grace of God. You can be in a place where you can speak with the enemy in the gate. It becomes from us not thinking more highly than we ought to think. It comes from us being filled with his wisdom and his knowledge and saying, Lord, I don't know that I'll ever be a Bezalel, but I'd sure like to have some of that spirit. You remember what happened to Elisha that followed after Elijah? He said, I'd like to have a double portion of your spirit. Wasn't related to him, but I want to be, when I get to be big, I want to be like him. You see? I want to be like him. And he said, when you go, can I have a double portion of your spirit? And the response to that was, that you're asking for something pretty big here. You're asking for a hard thing. But you know, if you'll be in a place where you see me when I depart, that'll be your answer. You'll get it. Where are we going to be? We're going to dig into all the self-help books. You could fill your whole house with self-help books and miss this. It's a relationship. It's being filled with the wisdom of God. And you know, he's going to help you be able to speak with the enemies in the gate. the gate of your house, the gate of your life. When the enemy is coming and confronting you, it's just like I told you here recently when I looked all around for the tramp, that hobo that had been traveling down the road and couldn't find him. And I went to the front door to look out, and when I looked through the window, he was looking right back, looking right in the door, right eye level with me. What do you do in those kind of situations? Do you scream and faint at the floor? No. There's a better place to be in. And that's what I want you to be. That's where I want to be. I want to be able to have that. There it is. It's right on the other side of the glass. He's looking right in at me. I want to be able to say, what did you need? You know, my daddy's got my back here. And if you got a problem with me, you're going to have a problem with him. I want you to have that kind of courage. I want us to be able to be like Bezalel and have those kind of characteristics and be able to go out of this life and nobody be able to put a finger and say, well, they really got lifted up. You know, the Lord blessed them and they took it and run with it and they went the wrong way. No, I don't want any of that said about me. I want people to say, you know, if there ever was a Bezalel, he was one of them. I want you to be that way. I want you to have the courage and the confidence to be a real man and a real woman for the Lord. You pray for me.